invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Glad to see several in our youth group made the trip back. I think they'll tell us that there was a bad wreck on I-65 that slowed them down quite a bit, but we're glad they made it back safely. I want to begin with something I mentioned, a way of me phrasing the issue that's being addressed here in Galatians chapter 3 by beginning with Shakespeare once again. To be or not to be, that is the question. And then we rephrased it last Sunday night to state this, the law of Moses, to keep or not to keep. And I know by now in our study of Galatians, you know this is the issue. You know that it was these false teachers, the Judaizers, that had come to Galatia saying that these new Christians, these Gentile Christians, now needed to keep the law of Moses in order to maintain their salvation. So this was the question, to keep or not to keep the law of Moses. Well, in Galatians chapter 3, it's a very doctrinal section. The Apostle Paul asks a series of five questions to show the superiority of grace over law, that is, the law of Moses. But then he gives an example. He does, he reminds the Christians there of someone that would be very familiar to them. He does a miniature character study. Sometimes we learn more when we see it in the lives of people. Many times we learn more about what it means to follow Jesus when we see others following Jesus, right? Well, again, the Apostle Paul picks out or selects wisely a hero of the faith, Abraham, as he explores this issue that he's trying to resolve among these Christians in Galatia. So he says, consider Abraham. Consider Abraham. And the focus of our study tonight will be verses 6 through 9, though we'll look at some background verses as well. Galatians 3, verse 6, Paul writes, consider Abraham. And he gives this quote from Genesis 15, verse 6. He believed God, and it was credited to him or accounted to him as righteousness. Consider Abraham, and a wonderful choice. Of course, he's inspired, but a wonderful choice for him to select Abraham for a study of this, to address this question, the law of Moses, do we keep it or not? The background of this quote that he uses is Genesis 15, verse 6. And I want to take you back there to consider the context. Because it's all about Abraham, and we learn more about him and about his faith, and that's what's being held up here by Paul. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Some time has passed. What after these things, Moses records here, what has happened? Most recently in the life of Abram, what has happened is that he has gone and when Lot, his nephew, was taken captive, he led a coalition to go and get him back. And now he's inhabiting this land of Canaan, surrounded by people who are worshiping pagan gods and could fear for his life. Is that what the Lord is addressing when he says to Abram, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, I am your protection, I am your security, your exceedingly great reward? I don't believe those were the issues. I don't believe Abram was afraid of people, afraid of those armies being resurrected and coming after him. I don't think he was afraid of the people that inhabited the land that God had promised him. I believe the next few verses tell us what's on Abram's mind and what's troubling him. Verse 2 of Genesis 15, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And that takes us back to how God had promised Abram that he and Sarah would have a son. And that through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Those promises given initially, we read about them in Genesis chapter 12. Abram was 75 years old. Many believe that about 10 years have passed now. So Abram is about 85 years old. And he and his wife are getting older, way past the age of childbearing. But they're still wanting to believe God and trust Him. But they've gone childless. And so I believe that's why God is saying to Abram on this occasion, don't be afraid, Abram, I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But then we find out why Abram is fearful. God, you promised that we would have a son. We haven't had one. And all these other promises that you've given to us hinge on us having a son. And at this point, the only heir in my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And this reflects a custom of that time, that if a family or a couple went childless, that a slave might be adopted as an indirect heir. And so Abram had already gone to those lengths. It's looking like Eliezer of Damascus is the one that is going to be my heir, since we have no child, as you have promised. So he's asking, all these promises that you've made to me are dependent on us having a son. If there's no son, there's no descendants. If there's no son, there's no, that land cannot be given to my descendants. If there's no son, then all nations cannot be blessed through non-existent descendants. So he's asking God, and he's even indicating why he is fearful. Look at verse 4 with me of Genesis 15. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one, speaking of Eliezer, shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. No, it's not Eliezer. It's not an adopted slave that's going to be your heir. You're going to have a son, Abram. You and Sarah are going to have a son. So Abram here is called to trust God once again. Even though he and his wife are getting older and older, the biological clock is ticking, if you will. And even though they've been already waiting 10 years, and we know the rest of the story, how they'd have to wait 15 more years. But God is reassuring him, it's not going to be Eliezer. You're going to have a son. Genesis 15, verse 5. Look at the beautiful way God reassures Abram. He brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. The background for this PowerPoint, I just Googled starry night, and this was one of the pictures. And I believe it must have been a clear starry night that God instructs Abram to go outside. And without the city lights, Abram would see the stars very visibly. And God instructs him, just see if you can count the stars. And they're innumerable for him. So shall your descendants be. A couple chapters earlier, we read how God had told him that just like the dust of the earth, as numerous as the sands of the seashore, we might say, so shall your descendants be. But he's reassuring him, and he's calling for Abram to trust him, to continue to trust him. So verse 6, and he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. He believed in the Lord. The Hebrew verb, so I've read, conveys the basic sense of making firm and thus suggests believing in the sense of trusting. God reassured Abram, you're going to have a son. In fact, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the dust of the earth or the stars in the heavens. And he's calling for Abram to trust him. And Moses tells us that indeed Abram trusted God. Despite all the obstacles that he'd already seen, despite all the questions that had been unanswered, despite the 10 years of waiting that he's been through, he and Sarah have both been through, and even thinking about who might be the heir in case they didn't have a son, God says, trust me. Abram trusted him. And God said, because of the trust he had placed in him, you are righteous. You are righteous. Consider Abraham. Paul is saying to these Christians at Galatia who are being told, in order to maintain your salvation, you got to keep the law of Moses. Consider Abraham. And I'm thinking those Judaizing teachers, those Christians who had been Jews and are now saying you needed to continue to keep the law of Moses, they'd say, Abraham, great subject. Let's talk about Abraham. He's the father. He's our forefather. He's the father of the Jews. And after all, he was circumcised. He entered into the covenant of circumcision, just like we're telling these new Christians that they need to undergo that and also to live by the other laws of Moses. Abraham, that's a great subject. But Paul says, consider Abram. Consider Abraham. He has selected the perfect example of demonstrating justification by faith rather than by keeping the law of Moses. Genesis 15, verse 6. God has reassured Abram, you're going to have a son, you're going to have descendants. And Abram trusted God. And God credited to him, he counted him righteous. That was before Abram entered into the covenant of circumcision. If you look in your Bibles, we're reading in Genesis 15. It's not until Genesis 17 that covenant is enacted. In fact, Genesis 15, where it says Abram is accounted as righteous in the sight of God, it's not until 400 years later that the law of Moses is given. So Paul beautifully says, consider Abraham. You're saying you have to keep the law of Moses in order to maintain your salvation. What about Abraham? He was counted righteous before God before the covenant of circumcision that you're saying is necessary, it's essential. He was counted as righteous even before the law of Moses was given. So he's saying all of those things you're saying are essential to your salvation. What about Abraham? What about Abraham? And he's underscoring how it's Abraham's faith that God counted righteous. It was his faith that justified him in the sight of God. So what would that mean to these new Christians? No, they didn't have to keep the law of Moses in order to maintain their salvation. Because Abraham was the prime example of justification by faith. And he continues to speak to that in the next few verses. Look with me to verse 7 of Galatians 3. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. And what he's speaking of there are these Christians, those who believe, those who have the faith of Abraham, those who trust God and have become Christians, who have placed their faith and their trust in Christ, they are children of Abraham. Because what were the Jews saying? Abraham's our father. He was the first Hebrew, if you will. We're descendants of Abraham. But Paul is broadening their understanding here, using Abraham's faith and those who would continue to have the faith of Abraham would be called his children. So it's not just the children of Israel, Abraham's physical descendants. It should now be clear to Paul's readers that they could be children's, Abraham's spiritual children, without circumcision or without law keeping, since Abraham, was blessed without them. Abraham is the father of the faithful, both Jews and Gentiles, who are justified by faith in Christ. So saying it's not just those who keep the law. It's not the Jewish Christians who say you got to keep the law. That's not necessary. It's those Jews and Gentiles who place their faith in Christ that are the real descendants of Abraham. Paul speaks a lot about this in Romans chapter 4. I'm just going to highlight one verse for you, Romans 4:16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. And notice who Paul says are Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. So Abraham is a spiritual father, if you will, of all those Jews and Gentiles who come to faith in Christ, who become Christians. Hang on with me. We're going to make application here in just a moment. He's hitting this doctrinal section hard. He's saying, consider Abraham. What was it that justified him in the sight of God? And you'll learn something about what it means to be justified in the sight of God today, he's saying. Galatians 3, verse 8. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So God preached, some versions have, or announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. What does that mean? Did God tell Abraham about Jesus to come? What Jesus would do on the cross? Not that specifically, but I suggest to you that God was announcing the good news to Abraham through statements such as these. Genesis 12, verse 3. In you, how many of the families of the earth shall be blessed? All of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 22, verse 18. In your seed, how many of the nations of the earth shall be blessed? All the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. It wasn't just for the Jews. It was for all the nations. It was for Jews and Gentiles. All would have the opportunity to receive this blessing through Abraham's seed, which is Christ, Paul will tell us in Galatians 3. That blessing would be available for all nations, Jews and Gentiles. The good news, the gospel for Jews and Gentiles is that justification is based on a relationship with God through faith in His Son. Verse 9. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Along with means the same blessing, that is a relationship with God that Abraham had, is available to the present day man of faith. The Galatians were recipients of the same blessing Abraham had without either circumcision or law keeping. However, they did need faith in God, which resulted in his declaring them righteous. Again, very doctrinal section. He's trying to hit at the heart of this false teaching and give them a correct understanding. The law of Moses, to keep or not to keep, the answer is no. Consider Abraham. Yes, he was before the law. Yes, he was even before the covenant of circumcision. But his faith was credited as righteousness by God. We can be spiritual descendants of Abraham if we have that kind of faith. Now, here's the application. What kind of faith did Abraham have? What kind of faith did Abraham have? It was a God-pleasing faith. And I want you, I want to have that kind of faith. What kind of faith did Abraham have that caused, or that God witnessed and credited to him as being righteous? As we consider the life of Abraham, we won't have time to exhaust that tonight by any means. But here are some things we can see about the faith of Abraham. Number one, obviously, this faith included belief in the existence of God. You remember Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Abraham had that kind of faith. He believed in the existence of God. And that might not seem like a big thing, but you think about where he grew up, in Ur of the Chaldees, and even before that, in other land, where the main gods that were worshipped in those lands were false gods. They worshipped the moon. They worshipped fire. It was in that setting where Abram grasped a hold of the truth of that there is only one true God. The scriptures would even indicate that his own father, at least for a period of time, worshipped idols. But Abram believed in the existence of the one true living God. And that's part of the faith that you and I must have, but it's only the beginning. Because the faith of Abraham, secondly, included trust in God's promises. It included trust in God's promises. The rest of Hebrews 11, 6 that talks about God-pleasing faith is that he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You think about the life of Abraham and his faith. And here are a couple of things that I'm sure will come to your mind. Number one, being called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your family. And it was from the greater to the smaller. Leave your country. And all indications is from, even archaeology supports this, that that was a very prosperous land. And all indications that Abram was very prosperous. But God calls him and tells him, you got to leave your country. Not only that, leave your kin. Leave your extended family. And this is when families would stay close together in proximity and really help each other out. And he's called, leave your kindred. Leave your family, and that's narrowing the focus, and go to a land that I will show you. And there's so many times where Abram wasn't given very much information, and he's called upon to trust God, even though he didn't have that information. And he shows us what's included in faith, God-pleasing faith, to trust in his promises. But thirdly, Abraham's faith also included living obediently by faith. We go to Hebrews chapter 11, Faith's Hall of Fame. And in Abraham is a prominent subject in that chapter. Hebrews 11 verses 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I love to imagine, and I remember talking with Justin about this in his speech for Lads to Leaders, I love to imagine thinking about a conversation between Abram and Sarai when he comes with the news that God has told him to leave. And she might ask, well, Abram, where are we going? He says, I don't know. Well, Abram, what are we going to do? We're going to pack up our belongings and go. He went out not knowing where he was going. Going without knowing. There's a lot of questions there, aren't there? But yet he trusted God and trusted him enough to obey him. even though he didn't know where he was going. Another reference, Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. You remember Genesis 15? Before God reassured Abram that he would indeed have a son, Eliezer wouldn't be the one to be the heir. It would be a son from him, from his wife Sarah. You remember how Abram recognized all the promises that God has given me depend upon us having a son. And sure enough, God came through, and at the age of 100, Abraham and Sarah have a son. They waited 25 years for these promises to be fulfilled. And now they have their son. And those of you who have children and grandchildren know the joy, at least a little bit, unless you've waited till 100 to have your first child. They've been waiting a long time, and they have all that joy that comes with it. Yes, the dirty diapers too, but they have this joy that they have a son now, and they can see how God is going to fulfill those promises. But then God tells him, take that son and offer him up to me. And my mind can't think about that very long. But what we have to see in Scripture is, what is the faith of Abraham? He trusted God, yes. He trusted him even when God would give him commands that he couldn't understand. But he trusted God enough that God was somehow going to fulfill those promises, and it was going to be through Isaac. In fact, Hebrews 11, verse 19, concluding, Abraham's conclusion was that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Of course God had that ability. Abraham had never seen it. Abraham had never seen someone raised from the dead. But in his mind he said, that must be the way it's going to happen, because God said it's going to be through Isaac. It's going to be through Isaac that your seed shall be called. It must be that he's going to raise him from the dead. Of course, God stopped him. You know the rest of that story. But look at Abraham's faith. What is God-pleasing faith? Believing that he is? Absolutely. That's not enough. Trusting his promises? Absolutely. And Abram gives us a beautiful picture of what it means to really trust God, but also trust God to the point where we do what he says. Don't miss that component that shouts to us from this man called Abraham. James chapter 2, James also points out Abraham because of his active faith. It wasn't a dead faith. It was an active faith. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. There's that text, Genesis 15, verse 6. It was fulfilled, and he was called God's friend. You see, James says, that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Faith is active. Faith responds to what God says. Consider Abraham. But consider our faith in light of his faith. We're not saying that Abraham's faith, even his obedience, earned God blessings. Not in the very least. It was God who blessed Abraham. It was because of his faith. God blesses those who have the faith of Abraham, the kind of faith that will trust God and trust Him enough, listen to me, to entrust your life to Him. You read the rest of Abraham's story, you see he stumbled at times. He doubted at times. It was Genesis 15 where we read this text that he believed God and God credited to him as being righteous. That was in the context of him questioning God, saying, "We don't understand, we've been waiting." But God reassured him and Abram put his trust in God. But he also entrusted his life to him to live obediently to whatever God wanted him to do, even if it meant offering his son. That's faith. That's God-pleasing faith. How's your faith? How's my faith? Do we have that kind of God-pleasing faith that will not only just believe that he exists, but that will trust him and trust him enough to do what he says and to entrust our lives to him? Perhaps that's your desire tonight. If you've never become a Christian, to put your faith in action and respond in obedience to his will. To place your faith, your trust in Christ as the one who died for you and as the only one who can save you from sin. But you act on that by surrendering your life in obedience to the gospel. If you need to be baptized into Christ tonight as a penitent believer, we hope and pray that you'll do so tonight. If you need the prayers of the church for some struggle that you're having or to come back home as a child who's wandered away from God, the church wants to pray with you and for you. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?